I'll just give me a minute while I get myself set up. I thought Robin was making a right mess of everything over there for a while, but turns out she did know what she was doing after all, so that's good. It's all dribbling and everything. That doesn't look right at all, does it? Anyway, turns out she knows what she's doing. Cool. So, we are going to be looking today at the Bible again. Oh, she's just walked in. You didn't hear that, did you? That's good. I was just saying how good you were. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been doing a little mini series on the Bible and about Scripture. And Andrew Stewart took us through how the Scripture has been inspired by God, and that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of Scripture. It wasn't a dictation. It was working in concert with their own personalities, their own knowledge, their own artistic creativity to create the Holy Scriptures. And while they were written by human authors, we can say with 100% certainty that it is the very Word of God. And for that reason, it's without error. It's 100% accurate on everything that it talks about. It's the final authority in matters that it addresses because it comes from God Himself. And so we can trust it. And then Brad, he had that huge pile of Bibles sitting there. Unfortunately, that recording didn't come through, so I have no idea what you talked about. But I talked to you, so I do have some idea. So you talked about how we got, how we made up the New Testament, and how we know that the Old Testament is accurate as well, because Jesus, he validated the use of the Old Testament through all of his preaching. And again, we can see the work of the Holy Spirit acting throughout history, first through the authors and then through the early church as they gathered together the writings that they recognized very clearly and very early on were inspired by God and were, again, God's word. And we see that Jesus himself affirmed the Scriptures in the Old Testament. So here we have this book. Actually, it's a collection of 66 books. It's written by 40 different authors, most of whom never met each other over the course of 1,500 years. It was written by priests and shepherds, and army generals, and tax collectors, and kings, and doctors, and fishermen, and government officials, and even a farmer wrote some of this, inspired again by God. It was written in three languages across three different continents. There are books of poetry, and history, and letters, and prophecy, laws, and wisdom tackling almost every subject you can possibly think of. And they all agree, as we would expect it to, as Andrew pointed out. The Bible contains the very words of God. God is ultimately the author of the words that we have here. And so we should expect that agreement. 66 authors, one Holy Spirit, one God, inspiring them to write. This book is amazing, and it is God's word. So the question before us now is, what do we do with the Bible that we have in our hands today? How do we feel about it? Do we even care what's in here? And do we feel the way the psalmist felt? In Psalm 119, he writes these words. Listen to this, 119 verses 129 to 136. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your law. Guess what that is? It's a love poem. It's almost embarrassing to read it in parts. I open my mouth and pant? Really? Are you thirsty and panting for God's word? I'll tell you for a fact, most of the time I'm not. Do your eyes shed streams of tears when people don't keep God's laws? We live in a Bible-rich country. in New Zealand and in most of the Western world. Brad had that table weighed down in Bibles. Those are all the Bibles that are in this church, right? Did you count how many there were? I mean, there's almost one for every person that's sitting in here at the moment, from the looks of things. I went into my house and I counted the Bibles that we had on our shelves and various things. We've got over 20 Bibles. Some of them are children's Bibles, some of them Bibles I got when I was a kid, some of them are relatives' Bibles, some of them my Bibles, study Bibles, Chris's Bibles, the girls' Bibles, over 20. That's five Bibles for the four of us each, right? And that's not including what I have on my iPad and my iPhone as well. And I've got about three or four different apps on there that can give me the Bible in various different translations and things. I think maybe our ease of access to God's Word has made us forget how precious it is. But there are places in this world where it's not so easy. And I'm going to show you this video. It's a little bit longer than I really wanted it to be, but it's powerful, and I really just want you to pay attention to what's going on, and you have to read too.
Oh.
Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. People of Iran know what it's like to be thirsty for God's word. They know what it's like to pant for God's word. And we have this treasure, and it's here within our grasp today. We have the living word of God. But you know, Satan doesn't want us to read this book. He's going to do everything in his power to make sure we don't open our Bibles and read God's word. In Iran, he's using political and religious pressure to keep the word of God from those people. Interestingly enough, the Iranian church is one of the fastest growing in the world today. I think one of the reasons why it grows so fast is because when they get God's word, they take it seriously. But here, Satan's more subtle in his approach to keeping us from God's word. He'll tell us God's word isn't enough anymore, that it's not relevant. How can a 2,000-year-old book speak to us today? He'll tell us that it's too hard to read. I'm not clever enough to read this. We've got pastors and professors and theologians who will look into this and they will tell me what I need, but I can't open this book and read it. I can't do that. I'm not clever enough. He'll tell us there are other better books to read. After all, the world has changed. We need a new word from God, or we need to look at our Bibles through the lens of the culture we have today. Because the Bible just doesn't speak to us about those things anymore. We need to look to other sources to find out how we should act today. Or he'll tell us that the Bible just isn't relevant at all. It doesn't have anything in it of any importance. We don't need to read it. He'll tell us any lie he can to stop us from opening our Bibles. It's one of Satan's greatest fears, I believe, that Christians will open their Bibles and start to read God's word and to take it seriously and to act on what it says. So I want to remind you of some attributes of God's word that we've actually, as I was writing this sermon, I suddenly thought, I'm sure I've done this before. And I have, about a year or so ago when we were looking at Psalm 119. So this is going to be a bit of a refresher. And I think maybe it should be a test as well. Can anyone tell me, there's an acronym there, S-C-A-N, SCAN. It's about the attributes of Scripture. And we recognize that there are four attributes of Scripture. Does anyone know what the S is? Anyone want to take a chance? Sufficiency. Sufficiency. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. We should all know this. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God's word tells us all we need to know for salvation and living a godly life. We don't need new revelations. We don't need new prophets. There's nothing that needs to be added or subtracted from the word of God. And we can also expect the word of God to be relevant for all aspects of our life. Now, just hear me clearly here. Scripture may not tell us all we want to know about everything, but it does tell us what we need to know about what matters most. The fact that Scripture is sufficient for us should also remind us that we should be able to open our Bibles and have an expectation that we will hear God's voice, that we will hear God speaking to us, and that with a relevance that is just as relevant today as it was for the people who read those letters from Paul or the Old Testament Scriptures 2,000 years ago. Because our God never changes, and his word is always true. Anyone remember the C? Cool. Clarity. Consistency is good, though, but clarity is the one. And this addresses this idea that we feel uncomfortable about reading God's word, that maybe it's too hard for us. And in Deuteronomy 30, 11 to 14, Moses has written this, "For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it." It's God's promise to us about his word. His words are near to us, and we can understand them. The idea of Scripture being clear doesn't mean everything in the Bible is going to be easy to understand. You remember Peter writes in 2 Peter 3, he says that some of Paul's teachings are hard to understand. But it does mean that everything we need to know, which lead to salvation and leads to us living faithful lives, pleasing and holy to God, can be understood by anyone who's prepared to pick your Bibles up, open it and read it. And give it the attention it deserves. Spend some time actually studying it, mulling over those verses, chewing over them. We need to remember that the Holy Spirit that inspired those writers 2,000 years ago is the same Holy Spirit today who will open our hearts and our minds to understand what God is saying to us through His Word. Don't be fooled into thinking you're not clever enough to read the Bible. Everyone can do it, and it is accessible to us all. Flicked it up before I got the chance to add. Authority, thank you. Authority. Acts 17, 10 to 12 says this. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing, as well as men. So Paul was following the pattern he had always done when he was traveling through Asia, in Asia Minor. He had been to the church, and the first place he went in each church that he went to was he would go to the synagogues and he would teach from the scriptures. Now, he'd been to Thessalonica before he went to Berea, but after a few days, the people in the synagogue there had thrown him out. What was the difference between the Thessalonians and the Bereans? The Bereans listened to everything that Paul said, and then they measured what he said against the scriptures they had in front of them. They were prepared to accept something new if it could be supported by the scriptures. And likewise, I guess they were also prepared to discard something that was being taught if it wasn't supported by the scriptures. God's word is final. It is the yardstick by which we measure everything else we hear or read. And it's just incredibly important in this day and age that we just like the Bereans, we examine everything that we're hearing, everything that we're reading, everything that we're watching against the scriptures we have in front of them. You know, some of the stuff I see on Shine TV, some of the stuff I hear on good radio stations like Radio Rema in general, some of the books that you see in a Christian bookstores today, they should not be being read by Christian people because they do not measure up to that test. And if you want some examples, you can come and talk to me later. But I'm not going to mention them by name now. You know, we need to be on guard against false teaching everywhere, and we use Scripture. That is our guide, that is our yardstick, and that is our measure. You know, Paul says to Timothy, in 1 Timothy, says, you know, he says to Timothy, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. We measure everything against Scripture because in the end, Scripture is our final authority. And the more we read it, and the more it becomes part of what we do every day, and the more it becomes part of us, because I think Scripture, as we read it, because it's God's word, it will change us, it will shape us, it will make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But the more we read it, the more the radar's going. And when someone suddenly says something on TV or on the radio, or even up here, fingers crossed. Yeah, I know. I knew someone was going to get me on that one. But we hear it. Our radar goes, that doesn't sound quite right. Let me just have a look through here. Yeah, no, that teaching, that thing that guy said was a little bit off. Doesn't mean we want to be nitpicky at everything that everyone says, because, You know, but we need to have that radar going, and we need to be measuring everything against Scripture. In anyone? Necessity. Scripture is necessary for us. There is no other place we can go to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ in an accurate and truthful way. No other place. We can certainly read books that are based on what's written in Scripture and learn about them, but here's the place that we go to learn about them. There is no other holy book that can lead us to salvation. There is no other name by which we can be saved. Amen? Romans 10, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And it goes on, how then will they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? A little bit further on, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That's how we're saved. There's countless stories in Iran and other countries around the world where someone has found a New Testament or been given a New Testament, and with no other intervention whatsoever, they have become Christians because they read God's word. It is necessary, it is authoritative, it is clear, and it is powerful. Personal experience and human wisdom cannot show us the gospel. We need God's personal revelation in Scripture if we're to worship him rightly, believe in Christ, and live lives which honour and bring glory to him. So that's all well and good. It's sufficient, it's clear, it's authoritative, and it's necessary. We should be like the psalmist in Psalm 119, and we should hunger and thirst for God's word. We should be pursuing it with a passion. And I know we all agree with that, but I also know that we're all going to walk out of here, me included, and it's just going to be too easy to go back to doing what we've already always done. Maybe we've got our daily Bible plan, or perhaps our engagement with the Bible is limited to Sunday mornings and our home group. What are we going to do to change that so that we really engage with God's word? I've got some suggestions, but our biggest challenge that we have is time. We do not prioritize reading God's word, I would put it to you. I confess here and now that I do not. For the last couple of weeks, I have listened to my Bible reading plan, do I admit it, in the shower. Because I've got my little portable speaker and I've got my YouVersion app and it's playing the scriptures to me. Is that the best place that I could be listening to God's word? No. I need to find, and I've had really good seasons where I've gotten up early in the morning and I've spent 45 minutes sitting, reading God's word and praying and really engaging with it. But right now, I confess to you all, I'm going through a real dry stage, which is why it's been really good for me to have to do this message for you guys, because it's challenged me as well. So the first practical thing we can do is we can find time to access God's word. And you know, guys know how you all operate, guys and girls. You know how you operate. You know whether you're a morning person or an evening person. You know whether maybe midday is going to be a good time for you. You might be busy mums and you've got kids to deal with and everything else, but you know that there's going to be a window of opportunity, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, where you can just set aside the time to spend in God's word. Me, it's first thing in the morning generally. But now that I'm working from home a lot more, I don't have that alarm clock going on and I don't need to beat the traffic, so I quite often sleep in because that's what I do and I need to get more disciplined about that. But it needs to take priority. Second, we should pray before we read the Bible. Very simple thing to do. As the Holy Spirit inspired the words of God to be written, he guided the early church to identify what was going to make up the Bible, what letters and books would eventually become the New Testament and the Old. So too, we need the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and our minds to apply the words that we read to us. John Piper has got this, it's another acrostic, IOUs. There is four things to pray before reading your Bible, and I have used this for a number of years, and it's good to revisit it for me as well. I, incline my heart to hear your testimonies, because my heart is inclined to sleep and work and do lots of other things other than read the Bible. O, open. open my eyes to see wonders in your word, because my heart is often dull and blind to the wonders of your word, and I take it for granted. You unite my heart to fear your name, since my heart is often divided and distracted and looking at so many other things in so many different directions. And finally, S, satisfy. Satisfy me with your steadfast love, since my heart is so tempted to be satisfied with other things. IOUs. Really good. Third, we have access to more resources to help us read our Bibles than at any other time in history. With the explosion of the internet, the resources are just phenomenal. First one, who's got YouVersion on their phones? Yeah, most of us. I'd highly recommend it, or any other kind of Bible app. The good thing about YouVersion is it can speak to you, even in the shower. You can listen to it in the car. So if you're not a big reader, you can just press play and get it to read to you. The other thing it's got is Bible reading plans for Africa. Literally, there are so many of them, it's unbelievable. Some of them are full year plans, some of them are only 3 or 4 days long. If you're new to Bible reading plans, my encouragement to you is don't necessarily go for the full year plan straight up, because you'll just get discouraged when you miss a few. Have a crack at some of the week-long plans first, and then you can feel that sense of achievement. I've actually done something. I've actually tackled a book of the Bible. But yeah, I highly recommend YouVersion. I've been using that for a long time. The second thing we have YouTube. YouTube is a terrible, terrible invention, but it can also be used for great things. These guys, and these are my must-subscribe to things that I think of in YouTube. So the first guy is the Bible Project. These guys are based out of Portland, Tim and John. They narrate these cartoons. They've been doing it for about 5 years now. Their content is amazing. It's absolutely rock solid. They do an overview of every book in the Bible. They've also done lots of theme videos. You can see there how to read the Bible videos. The artwork is amazing. The content is absolutely rock solid. And if you want to just get overviews of different books of the Bible or go through certain themes within the Bible, they're great. They do have a podcast as well. You can listen to the both of them talk for an hour about what they're going to be putting into the next videos. And Tim's this Hebrew. He's done Hebrew and been trained in it. So it's for me, it's just opened up this whole new dimension of looking at words and how the authors have created things. It's just really, really good. Gospel Coalition, fantastic place to go as well. Again, rock solid teaching from these guys. That one at the top, Don Carson, doing the Gospel of Luke in 12 sessions. Those sessions are only about 8 minutes long, though, each of them. Dr. Don is one of my big heroes. So is Tim Keller. He's normally on there. Matt Chandler. There's a whole bunch of people on there. Again, they've got a podcast and they've got their YouTube channel. And then Ravi Zacharias, RZIM, if you're interested in apologetics and explaining why we can have faith in the Bible to people who don't believe in the Bible, Ravi's a great place to go. Look at that. What have we got there? Aren't the Gospels just legends in 3.5 minutes? Well worth your time to subscribe and just spend a little bit of time watching these things when you've got downtime. Last one, Stand to Reason videos. Greg Kuchel, again, it's an apologetics website. But he's tackling a lot of thorny questions in there. But he's always basing what he does in the Bible. So highly recommend all four of those. So if you haven't got them subscribed in a podcast or on YouTube, sign up for them now. Everything's free. It's brilliant. Speaking of something else that's free and our church has complete access to, Right Now Media. Who's using Right Now Media in their Bible studies or as personal? Everyone in the church can get access to this. If you don't know how to do it, drop me a note and I'll find out how to do it. I think we're all set up for it. And if you're not, it really is the Netflix of Christian Bible study. It has got tons and tons of Bible studies. It's got loads of children's content, loads of really worthwhile stuff by really, really good, rock-solid Bible teachers. Again, if you're doing it in home Bible study, brilliant. What me and Chris have started to do is we've on one day a week, we just sit down and have lunch and we watch We're watching an apologetics thing at the moment, which is really, really good, and we have a chat about it afterwards. So use it for personal. You can use it for personal as well as group study. You know, Book of James, Francis Chan. What we got? 12 sessions, each one's about 10 minutes long. It's not a huge impact on your time, but it will open up the word in new ways for you. I'd encourage you to do that. The kids' content. That one in the top left corner. What's in the Bible? If you're wondering about the whole view of the Bible and want to get a really good survey of everything that happens in the Bible and be entertained at the same time, I cannot more highly recommend What's in the Bible. It is superb. Absolutely superb. Don't get distracted by the puppets and the cartoons. The content is, again, rock solid. And Phil Vischer, who does What's in the Bible, he's also the voice of Bob the Tomato. If you watch VeggieTales, he's also done these children Bible study videos. Again, they're about 10 minutes long each. You could watch them with your family. And that really brings me to the last point I have. And we go back to 2 Timothy, and I really do encourage mums, dads, aunts, uncles, grands, granddads, spend some time with your kids with this material, or your grandkids, or the next door neighbour's kids. They will enjoy it and they will learn a lot. I just want to take you back to 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17, just to close, because I want to go back before 16 where we normally start. And it says this, and this is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Timothy learnt the scriptures from his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. They invested in the next generation and they modelled a healthy respect and use of scripture. Now this book is my grandfather's Bible. James Spears, it says in the cover, written by, I assume, his hand, 14th of April 1912, he was given this book. I only just found it the other day. He passed it on to my mum and my mum then passed it on in a box of stuff to me. But there's something to be said for the fact that I'm up here preaching to you guys today, and it comes from the faith of my grandfather and the faith of my parents, and that they held this Bible in huge regard and respect. It's really cool. There's little pencil marks where he's obviously noted things down. It's very special for me because I didn't even know my grandmother. He died before I was born, so. The fact that he held this in such high regard, the fact that it's still here, a lot of people would have just thrown it out, means he held the scriptures in high regard, and we should all do so. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that has given it to us. We thank you that he works within our hearts and minds to apply salvation to us, to apply your word to us. We just pray that as we leave this place, we won't take it for granted. We will spend our time in it, and through it, we will learn more about you, more about the Lord Jesus, and more about your love for us. Help us to learn, help us to digest, and help us to love you more through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.